We're zooming in now on the Sherman Park neighborhood of Milwaukee and hearing about Sherman Phoenix and its economic justice efforts here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer, Kent. Sherman Phoenix is a hub of dozens of small businesses that grew out of the unrest sparked by Sylville Smith's death in 2016. Milwaukeeans, have you been to Sherman Phoenix? What would you like to share with its founders? Are you a Black entrepreneur? What was your path like to becoming a business owner? Join in at 800-642-1234. Clyde Anderson is general manager of Sherman Phoenix. He's an entrepreneur, author, and former CNN analyst who has worked with a variety of businesses. Clyde, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
And Jan Anderson is here, Director of Programming and Events for Sherman Phoenix. Jan, welcome to you.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, I want you to take us back to 2016 when Sylville Smith died after being shot by police. And this sparked protest. It sparked civil unrest in Sherman Park. You know, Clyde, as a person in Milwaukee, what were your thoughts at that time?
Well, you know what's interesting? I was born here in Milwaukee, and for several years we were living down in Georgia. And so I came home actually right after it happened. And so I was here after sort of feeling the after effects and seeing what was going on and looking at the neighborhoods that I once remembered that looked a lot different. And so that was sort of my first understanding. I was watching from afar as it was happening. It was breaking my heart to see what was happening to my community. But then to come home and really see it firsthand, it was really rough, which is why, this has been such a beacon of light for us.
Jan, what was it like coming to Milwaukee at that time?
Wow. I am not originally from Milwaukee. I am originally from Detroit. And coming from Georgia about 3 years ago, just seeing how... to be honest with you, how segregated Milwaukee is. I mean, it was a bit of a shock for me coming from Georgia, where you see a lot of African-Americans just doing well within the city. And coming to Milwaukee, it was really pretty much a segregated city. And then being a part of the Sherman Park neighborhood, especially hearing the history behind it and seeing what rose out of the ashes, the Sherman Phoenix, and being a part of that amazing project, it kind of gave me hope that things are possible to turn around.
How did you get the idea for Sherman Phoenix? How did this come about and it come together, Clyde?
Well, it was really the brainchild of Joanne Sabir and Julie Kaufman. They were actually, Joanne was looking for a bigger space for her juice kitchen, a restaurant, or a juice bar, and looked at the Sherman Park area and had decided on the spot. And right when she decided is when the unrest happened in 2016. And the BMO Harris building was right across the street from the land that she had identified. And so once that happened, the BMO Harris was one of the buildings that was burned. This building has been around for over 100 years. It was it's been a bank since the 20s. And so this was burned during the unrest in the Sherman Park neighborhood. And the building was damaged, but it was a solid structure. And so they were able to really kind of decide to move instead of making this juice kitchen across the street. Let's do something bigger. And so what became Sherman Phoenix and the whole idea was rising from the ashes. They were able to refurbish this building and bring in 27 tenants. And these were people that they had come across, had known or worked with, and they were small business owners or wanted to be small business owners. And they decided to bring them all inside and make it one community. And so that's the beginning of it.
So this bank turns from a bank into this hub of entrepreneurs looking to get their startups off the ground, looking to get their restaurant ideas going. When you walk into this space, Jan, can you tell us, give us a picture of what we can see?
Wow. When you walk inside the building, you see smiling faces, people ready to greet you with hugs. Everyone knows each other. Everyone knows each other by name. And if we don't know you by name, we ask you, hey, what's your name? Where are you from? What are you doing here? What's going on? It's just a feeling of community and family. And I think that's what makes Sherman Phoenix so special, is that we all come together and we all love each other. It's one big happy family. And you can feel that excitement and that energy, and that attracts people to the building.
Jan, how do the tenants help each other out?
Wow. That's a really cool thing about Sherman Phoenix, and that's something that you won't see any place else like it, retail-wise, marketplace-wise, is that the tenants all come together to help each other with marketing ideas, with sales strategies, different promotion ideas. What can we do to build our business? What can we do to grow? And everyone's willing to help. They also collab with each other to come up with different, products or promotions to offer consumers. I know that pizza and spring rolls and popcorn all came together to offer quarantine combo pack to customers during the quarantine. So they always come together to try to help each other grow and to try to help each other expose them to other customers. So they help each other a lot, and we're really grateful for that.
We're talking with Jan and Clyde Anderson, who helped found Sherman Phoenix, a business and community center in Milwaukee with dozens of entrepreneurs and startups. We're hearing about the project and taking your questions. Are you a Black entrepreneur? What has your experience been like? What policies would you like to see to address systemic challenges for people of color in business? Join in 800-642-1234. Clyde, how have you seen this pandemic affect the Sherman Phoenix tenants and the community you've created there?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting. The first 2 years of business are generally the roughest for any entrepreneur. And so we opened about 18 months ago. And so when the pandemic hit, it was devastating to small businesses that were just sort of getting in their stride. We just sort of found that rhythm. And so to have to stop abruptly and sort of reconfigure is rough for anyone. And so for entrepreneurs, it's definitely challenging. You have to really kind of go back through and sometimes rethink the model and do different things. So we saw a lot of challenges. But one of the things that we were able to do is waive rent for the tenants for about 3 months, which helps. Again, it speaks back to the community and why the Sherman Phoenix was created to be this sort of incubator of sorts to help the tenants. And so that was hard. So we stayed, you know, with the tenants, and we continued to work with them throughout the pandemic just to make sure that they were okay, one, mentally, and then also that they were having a strategy or thinking through what the comeback would be for them or what other avenues that they could use to make revenue during this time. So we all have gifts and talents, and we like to see how we can apply them in different ways. So we work with them to do that. The beauty is that we saw some of the tenants pivot. We saw some of them that were able to really sort of come back stronger than they were before because they found new product lines. They tried something different and they were innovative. And I think that's that energy as well. So it's definitely been a challenge with the pandemic. But I think in any adversity, we always see opportunity as well if you look for it.
Well, I'm wondering how your tenants have navigated this time where there are grant opportunities, there are federal dollars flowing through, for instance, the PPP. And we know that businesses, particularly minority business owners, are usually more obstructed to access to capital. And so that can be an issue. How is that going?
Yeah, this is true, and it's definitely an issue across the board. And what we did was making sure that we researched all the available grants and we made sure they knew what was out there. So every week we were sending them grants. And what we found is that some of them were able to take advantage of them. We definitely have some that it just didn't fit, or for some other reasons they didn't qualify or get the funds. But we did have some tenants that were successful. We've had some tenants that have received over $60,000 in grants. And they're still going and applying for some as they're still out there. So we've seen across, but we've definitely seen some grants come in and help. I think we find a lot of the challenges on the other side when we're trying to deal with some of the loans. That's really, I think, where we see some of that that problems with accessing the capital. And so we're also conscious of that and trying to find partners, because a project like Sherman Phoenix would not have happened with traditional financing. We could not have went to a bank and said, you know, give us $4.5 million to make this deal work. On paper, it doesn't make sense, but it becomes more about people than it is about profit.
How did the financing come together?
Well, it's really sort of a crowdfunding that happened. And so we began there. So the community actually owns it. And you ask how the community feels. I think that's why the community is so involved as well, because we were able to offer this pieces of this to the community and they could invest in as low as $1,000. So that was one of the ways. But we also had philanthropic partners. We had athletes. We've had some foundations that came on board. They saw the mission. They had worked with Julie in the past or worked with Joanne in the past and knew their hearts and knew what they were about and what they wanted to achieve in the community. And I think that becomes infectious. You know, when you have a vision and you share it, it can become contagious. And I think that's what happened and got people on board to raise those funds and to open the doors.
Well, Jan, you know, community being at the core of Sherman Phoenix, what is it like for you when you can't put on events, when you can't bring prospective customers together or this community that has grown up together?
Oh, it is so hard, to be honest with you. It's been really challenging. However, I've really been trying to figure out a way that we can still have people come together inside Sherman Phoenix, but of course, remain safe for social distancing. We have a lovely patio outside that has been reconstructed, revamped. And so we have a lovely green space outside where there are spaces for people to sit outside of rocks. And we have some tables and chairs that we want to put outside so people can still come and gather, but they would be outside. We also have started doing events in our parking lot the days that we've been closed on Sunday and Monday. So the community has really used that parking lot as a way to have small events. It does hurt, but the main thing is that the community stays safe. Everyone stays safe. And we will have events again. We will be there again. But it's really figuring out what that looks like and how we can bring people together and still remain safe.
We're talking with Jan and Clyde Anderson about Sherman Phoenix. It's the business and community center in Milwaukee in the Sherman Park neighborhood. How has your community been affected by the protests against police violence? What are you hoping comes next in terms of small businesses? What type of growth and community engagement would you like to see? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with Clyde and Jan Anderson in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It has been 4 years, 4 years since the uprising in the Sherman Park neighborhood of Milwaukee following the death of Sylville Smith. And a community and business center called Sherman Phoenix came out of that time. Its mission to lift up entrepreneurs who have been discriminated against. And that work is more urgent than ever in the wake of George Floyd's death and protests against racial oppression. So what economic policies do you think Wisconsin leaders can enact to address systemic racism and business ownership? What do you think should be done to support business development in communities of color? Join in now, 800-642-1234. We have Sherman Phoenix founders Clyde and Jan Anderson who stay with us. So Clyde, what percent of the tenants are selling food in Sherman Phoenix? I ask that because restaurants have had such a hard time as of late.
Yeah, that's one of the big challenges we see. We have 7 food vendors currently in the building in our food hall, in our main food hall. And so it's been definitely a challenge because right now we're curbside and carry out only. One of the things in the past that I think we really prided ourselves on is people coming inside of our atrium, having a seat and really congregating and making connections and doing those things that you do in a coffee shop or just amongst friends. And so they've had a hard time just really kind of doing that. Like I say, some people have been able to pivot and offer other things. For example, we have a spring roll, a Funky Fresh spring roll, who started doing frozen spring rolls, which was innovative. And it's helped his business really through the pandemic to survive and now thrive afterwards.
So, you know, you're looking at many different paths for these businesses. Have any of these entrepreneurs talked with you recently and said, "Hey, Clyde, I don't know if I'm going to make it here. I don't know if I'm going to come back."
You know, what's interesting is I've had these conversations with them as we try to talk through things. And I haven't had anybody that say that I can't, you know, it has been how. And I think that's what, if, you know, is how do we do it? Is how do I shift? And so we've had those conversations of what may it take to shift. And sometimes it's bringing other people that know more. It's maybe mentors or people who have been down a road similar in the past, as it relates to being in the restaurant business. And so we find that's really important. So we have 27 small businesses, 25 of them are owned by people of color. And so, as you mentioned earlier, it can be challenging for people of color, whether it's capital access or just really sort of running the day to day, especially in those first 2 years. And so I'm seeing the challenges, but as I say, I'm seeing them persevere. No one as of yet has said, I can't do this. I'm changing. I'm going to go do something else. And so we're hoping that we don't have that. But our role is to support them to make sure that they don't have to make that decision. And if they do, what's the best decision for the next phase of their lives to pivot?
Have you talked with other Sherman Phoenix type approaches in outside of Wisconsin? Are there others doing this model, and how is it working?
I know, and you know what's interesting is it's probably 225 food halls across the country. I haven't found any that are really exactly like ours. They're similar in different ways. The thing that's unique for us and that we really ran into as we were trying to reopen is that we're a mix of a food hall. We have yoga, so we have health and wellness. We have beauty things. We have a beauty shop, a barber shop, a massage therapy. And so where I say it's like a town inside of a town, but we have maybe four different industries that are happening. And so I can't just follow the model of a food hall. I have to kind of look at retail space as well and what the malls are doing too. So we have that sort of hybrid thing going on. So we definitely lean on some of our peers and partners, but it's also a little bit challenging because none of them are really just like us.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Clyde Anderson, General Manager of Sherman Phoenix. It's a business community center food hall in Milwaukee. Jan Anderson, Director of Programming and Events. You can join in. Have you been to Sherman Phoenix? What would you like to share about it? We're at 800-642-1234. So, Jan, as you work with your tenants in the coming weeks and months, I'm sure you're watching the COVID numbers every day. But you're also in a city that has really been affected by the George Floyd protests, and certainly Sherman Park has those scars as well after Sylvia Smith. What has it been like over the past month and watching these protests?
Wow. It's been heartbreaking, but it's also been uplifting as well to see that the community once again is coming together to support our community. The interesting thing about Sherman Phoenix is that when the riots happened in 2016, they happened on a Friday, and on a Monday, the community came together in the streets and said, you know what, this isn't going to be the legacy of this neighborhood. This isn't going to be what's left. We're going to come together and figure out what happens next. And so when Joanne Sabir and Julie Kaufman came to that neighborhood with the Sherman Phoenix idea, it was just a phenomenal opportunity, and everybody gravitated to that. And I think that what we see now and the protests and just the spirit of what happened in the past, people still remember that, and they remember that, you know what, this happened once before and we came together before. And from that, rising from the ashes, came Sherman Phoenix, which is something that is amazing, and it's so positive and it's so needed in the community. And I think that people remember that. So when we're protesting, especially in the Sherman Park neighborhood, that same resilience, that same power, that same energy comes back to mind, and it allows us to keep going, because Sherman Phoenix is an example of what can happen from a tragedy, Clyde, in a neighborhood.
Yeah, Clyde, do you feel that same energy in Sherman Park?
I do. And we've had a rally at our building, a youth rally, which was really powerful to see the people coming out. And again, that the building has so much significance because of what it was birthed from. And so it's an energy, I think, that you feel as you're there and you know what's going on and the times we're in. And so it's really important, but I think it's recognized. We've had a lot of the activists come through. We've had a lot of the community leaders that are coming through, and we're able to have these conversations. And I think that's what's opening up to having more dialogue like this. And so we want to be that space. We want to be the hub for those conversations. Is, you know, we're at a location where some people may not venture to go. You know, we're located on Fond du Lac and 35th, where in the past, you know, some people may shy away or certain people may shy away from it. But Sherman Park was a thriving community. And so it can be, and it's becoming a thriving community again. So to see the protests and the peaceful protests is it's great. To see us, you know, really not letting down, because in the past we've had a lot of false starts. And I think this is one that, you know, we're seeing some change happen, and it feels good to see that. It's hard to get to it, but it feels good seeing.
All right. This isn't quite the fair question because it's like picking your favorite child. But Jan, do you have a particular tenant that you really, really love for their product?
Well, I know that's so unfair.
I know.
Okay, well, I do have to get a shout out to my hairstylist, Latrice Nelson, over at Shampooed in Sherman Phoenix. That's where I get my hairstyle. So, of course, that would have to be a favorite because she keeps my coif impeccable. So, but outside of that, you know, everybody offers something a little different. Like I was saying, we have the wellness, we have food, we have culture, we have a bar inside of there. I mean, there's so many different things. So I guess it depends on the day, what I'm in a mood for, but there's always something for me every day. So it's really hard to pick that favorite, but I would definitely say Shampoo. That's my personal favorite.
Clyde, you're not off the hook. You gotta pick you.
I thought I might have missed that one.
Oh, no.
I think it is. And Jan hit it. It's on the day. So some days I'm in a mood for a spring roll. Some days it's pizza. Some days I just want some popcorn from Lush or some baked goods from Confectionally Yours. So it just really depends. And they all do a great job. And they all have these just delicious things that some days you may need to stay away from. And so it's all about moderation and balance. But I'm so proud of all of them. For really staying the course and doing what they're doing. But yeah, it just really depends on the day.
Clyde, in the last few moments we have, how do you keep yourself going? Where do you find hope? How do you keep going?
You know, I find hope in my Instagram title is Clyde on Purpose. And I feel purpose is what keeps me going. It's a focused purpose of I know what I'm here for. I know why I came home. You know, I've been in Atlanta for 24 years and Joanne Spear asked me to come back. And so that's why I'm home, because it's purposeful. It's for us to make a difference. And for a time such as this, I had no idea any of this would happen. But I was sort of listening to that voice that said, go. And we went and we came and we answered the call. And so I think that really does it.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us, both of you.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Yes,
thank you for having us.
Clyde Anderson, General Manager of Sherman Phoenix, Jan Anderson, Director of Programming and Events. Just ahead, we spend the hour discussing elections and voting with a constitutional expert. What confuses you about your country's voting process? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.